earthquakes, political chicanery, extreme weather, impending financial doom. If you haven't gotten prepared, you're just not paying attention. You need emergency food, and you know it. You'll get the most emergency food for your money from Ready Supply Foods. Companies with patriotic names try to sell you five or six soups, some pudding, drink powders, and rice, but have only half of the calories you need to survive. You really want to try and live on that? Ready Supply Foods sells 23 delicious entrees with none of the empty calories. Enjoy stroganoff, pasta alfredo, primavera and marinara, chicken a la king, Hawaiian sweet and sour, and vegetable rotini. Those are just a few of our amazing menu items. You can buy from the other companies and eat like a peasant, or buy from Ready Supply Foods and eat like a king. We sell you twice as much food for the money than most companies, and it's much better food. Surviving a disaster is hard enough without worrying about starving to death. See how much more food you can get for your money at ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Jeff and Bill Tompkins and all of you wonderful people, wherever you are around this world of ours, we're hearing a message that is, pardon the pun, it's a universal message. It really is. And we had better wake up or we're not going to be around. And I do think this species of ours has arisen and fallen on this planet several times in the past. You got to figure it out. We have, the planet's 4.5 billion years old, and you think we haven't been around before? And when they crack open pieces of coal that are 500,000 years old, bituminous coal, and in the middle of it, they'll find a perfect gold-linked bracelet. They crack open rock that is 3 billion years old and find thousands of perfectly round metallic orbs with three grooves on them, which would represent, if you will, Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn, and the equator. What are those all about? Well, we've been here before. This is just a little blip. This is a gnat on an elephant, what we're doing right now. And Bill's words of wisdom and warning should be taken very, very seriously. If we were allowed to live longer, we would have wisdom that few people could understand or imagine now. But we're not. We're being kept down. And who's keeping us down and why remains a little unclear. But it is happening, and we do have the potential. It is a fact that we're using a very small fragment of our brain, just a fraction. It's just not being used. It's not allowed to be developed. And now with the chemicals and the electromagnetic fields, the RF and the ULF and all the rest of it, we're being electromagnetically now deconstructed even more. I mean, our potential to rise up and to conquer our problems is being minimized more each day, because we are being degraded as a species through our food and our environment. And who is in charge of that? That's what you've got to look at. That's the ultimate evil. At least that's the immediate, obvious, ultimate evil on this planet. And you see it reflected in things like Pizzagate, and mass crime, world wars, you name it, keeping people hostage to financial usury and debt. This is not a free planet. We are enslaved to any number of different protocols. It's just not good. Bill, I got a question here from one of our listeners. He said, "Hi, Jeff, would you please ask your guest, Mr. Tompkins, if the Dracos own about 80% of the galaxy, why haven't they taken the other 20% that the Nordics have?"
Okay, that is a good question, and I guess I have to say I can't give you a good answer, but I'll give you what I think. Essentially, have to go back and work with numbers again. Because just looking at the United States as a country with the reptilians controlling us, forget about the rest of the planet. The idea here is that if we look at, say, 8 space galactic battle cruisers that we have out in the galaxy,
mm-hmm.
You have to ask the question, why are they not helping us and keeping these reptilians from controlling us? Okay, now, a lot of people are in denial on what I'm going to say. But essentially, there are numerous organizations out in the galaxy where they have large numbers of extraterrestrial civilization people working together and monitoring different problems throughout the galaxies. And so where the reptilians come in and take over not a planet, but a solar system of a particular star, they don't need millions of them to take care of millions of people on the planet. They essentially only need one reptilian for every 10,000 people. And so they get their programs implemented, and they utilize different capabilities of citizens of the planet and of the United States. So what we end up with is that they don't need large numbers of their people to control very sizable numbers of Earth people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a requirement for them to control the entire, all of the planets in the solar system. They can handle this with a very few people, and it's not necessary for them to bring in more to control, not monitor, the rest of the people on the planet. And so if you could visualize the gentleman's question, why don't they just take over everything? They can operate from not just our moon here, but they can operate all over the planets in the solar system,
mm-hmm.
and do this without full takeover of the planets and get the minerals that they're trying to acquire and the other things that are on their agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if you could look at it from this standpoint, they just don't have to bother with that. It's not necessary for their operation.
I got it. That's a good answer.
It's hard for us to accept that the same races of the Draco Republican group
Reptilian, not Republican, but that's okay.
Okay, not for that. Reptilian. And that they don't need large numbers to control large numbers of people or
right.
planets or stars. Okay?
Right.
And it's, again, hard to accept. Well, you have to step back to just very recently, where the astronomers now have said that we personally on this planet know of 200 trillion galaxies, not 200 billion.
This is so mind-boggling.
And so just to try to look at a piece of that, you know, we're insignificant, our efforts here to even, whether we survive or don't survive, it really doesn't make any difference to them.
No, and the extension of the power and influence of the Draco Republicans is kind of cute.
I think that's good.
I think so, too. And it certainly has a finite end to it. Their influence withers away at some point to be replaced by another group of intelligent beings. 200 trillion galaxies? Give me a break.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, this is nutty. Anyway, I hope that answers the question, and I think it did. What I'd like to do, Bill, is let me read a little bit more of this, because there's some
I wish you would, because,
fascinating material.
It's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go back and pick up where I was. The mesofield, M-E-S-O, theory, and the principle of dynamic C-O-N-T-R-A, contrabury, or contrabury. I don't know which way it's pronounced.
Contrabury,
okay. Mathematical framework, field component. These are summaries of sections in the work cited. Mathematical framework, field components, development of the basic types of gamma operators and differentiated type signatures. Most general case illustrated by a tensor field of arbitrary variance and degree in the n-dimensional, n-dimensional alternating field. Rectangular matrix of the most general gamma operators, important identities, application to the natural basic postulate of the mesofield theory. Tensor equation systems, which describe the elementary process of the mesofield excitation. And it goes on from there. Now let me jump down. This is discussion of the impulse law. Now this is physics from 60 and 70 years ago, and even earlier than that. So, and I don't expect anyone to understand this, but I want you to get an idea of the kinds of terms and theories and concepts which these people were working on, that Bill worked on. He was intimately involved with much of this. Solution. All right, this is discussion of the impulse law. Solution for a space-time trajectory. A space-time trajectory, which is continuous except for a finite number of singular events. Approximation for simple planetary voyages. Synopsis of approximation, validity, and conditions. Numerical example. Trip to Mars under unfavorable constellation, VIZ. Earth to Mars conjunction. Now that suggests almost an astrological aspect to this. And conclusion of future work progress. All right, now here we go. Three key paragraphs. The following, part one of the treatise, starts out with the summary dismissal as absurd of any idea of annulling gravity. This leaves only the principle of impulse transfer as a reliable method of propulsion. Realizable method of propulsion. Next, the author formulates a very abstract definition of a spaceship and its task, in the most general sense conceivable. This prompts him to inquire into the nature of the elementary process which accompanies, quote, the generation of a ponderomotive effect, P-O-N-D-E-R, ponderomotive effect, in correlation to the transformation of material process. He adduces reasons why he believes that this fundamental question cannot be answered by the quantum theory, nor by Einstein's general relativity theory, nor even by his unified field theory. Pretty powerful paragraph. That's one of three. Here's two. Therefore, Haim, this is the man they're talking about, H-E-I-M, has set out himself to evolve an entirely new cosmic theory, such that it, one, expresses a universal law which endorses and embraces the quantum theory and Einstein's theory as special cases, and yet so that, two, it is amenable to proof by experiment. So it can be worked out and proven by experimental means. The first part of this theoretical work he considers as having been completed. This is 1950, 51, 52. Its first step was the derivation of the mathematical edifice, which led to the discovery of the existence of a previously unknown field state, which he named mesofield, M-E-S-O. Mesofield. Its treatment required the development of a new mathematical method. This furnished eight systems of six-dimensional nonlinear tensorial differential equations, which describe a universal cosmic law. Suitably introduced approximations yield, beside the quantum theory, also Einstein's theory, and thus it embraces the entire classical physics. Now, that is absolutely amazing, and I'm no physicist.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. So there you go. That's just a glimpse of the material that Bill is making available for the world to look at and understand. That's where we were in the early, early 1950s, and even before that. These were printed in the 1950s, okay? Well, my friend, all of this led to, remember the Ben Rich statements? Remember, Ben Rich, if you go to the homepage at the top of Rents, where this particular program is featured with a beautiful graphic of deep space, and if you click on there where it says click here, you'll get the Ben Rich quotes. And I'll read them again, because they are relevant to what I just wrote and said. He said, we already have the means to travel among the stars. Now, he said this 35 years, almost 40 years after what I just read to you had occurred. 30 to 40 years later, Ben Rich said, we already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do. End quote. He also said, we now have the technology to take E.T. home. No, it won't take someone's lifetime to do it. There is an error in the equations. We know what it is. We now have the capability to travel to the stars. All right? So this is 30 to 40 years after what I just read you. Understand that the physics involved were being pushed into entirely new limits at that time. Unknown areas. Six dimensions, when you think about it. Six dimensions. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I have to say, isn't that interesting, though? That the secret think tank at Lockheed, actually, Grumman had them, Douglas, of course, had them, all the aerospace people had them. Even the advanced medical groups had what would be considered to be a think tank. But the one at Lockheed got most of the publicity. And if you have a person like Ben Rich saying what he is saying, don't discount that. What he's saying is, actually, we know what's out there. We know how to get there, and We even know how to make reptilians back off. So why are we not doing that? Okay? Now, I want to answer that question. And we were starting to get into it even before you read this. It's perfect timing. We have these federations out in the galaxy of different extraterrestrials working together for different agendas. Yes, some of them are sort of like a police force, trying to keep the bad guys contained and try to get them to not war with each other like they do. But we have knowledge to this, and we know how to fix it. This situation, which is taking place on a daily basis inside of their moon, not yours, those people are communicating daily with Ben Rich Athlonke. Wow. Okay. So, inside that planet, which is not a planet, it's a vehicle, it's an operating center, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of different civilizations. People, men, women, children, whatever, schools, the whole ball of wax, okay, in what you thought was your moon. And these people have set up standards for different stars, planets. They have a situation where they have stated, for instance, in our case, they will not interfere with the planet's own personal problems, like personal meaning countries. They're not going to come in and help the Russians take over the planet. They're not even going to have or to help the humans to stop the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They are not going to do that. So we just got through telling everybody that we have 8 naval battle groups out in the galaxy, and that's a long ways from your moon, their moon right here, the command center. And why can't they fix it? Because the people that are running, managing that command center, which we think is our moon, those people are operating under intergalactic regulations. And frankly, they probably are not even considered to bothered with planet Earth.
Hmm.
They could just take it or leave it,
mm-hmm.
because that's not
mm-hmm.
what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
So we then have to help ourselves. Now, fortunately, what Rich is talking about is that we know what's going on and can fix it with the help of the Nordics. But we have to collectively stop doing the bad things that we've been doing to our own planet.
And Bill, along those lines, since the 1950s, when you were working at Douglas and had interaction with the Nordic women almost daily, if not daily, when you were at work, we're not going in the right direction. We're going ass backwards. We're going into
Correct.
Complete repression. We're deconstructing our potential. We're putting our people under hegemonic, satanic idiocy. We are not doing the right thing here. And so why would anyone want to step in and try and save us, help us, assist us, when we have already had that knowledge base and have literally stood by and allowed it to be taken away from us by the evil ones on this planet? We may just be let go, and we may kill ourselves off again. Why should they care?
Okay, primarily because some of them are your cousins. Okay.
I hear that. And, I gotcha. Yeah.
And but what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say what Ben Rich is alluding to, is that we have the capability, but we're being managed by people, every country on the planet, who have, unfortunately, alien agendas. And, wow. And there's not just one Federation type out there, okay? The little moon that's here, that's one of the Federations locally. But it's operating out on the arm of the Milky Way galaxy because it's addressing not even just the Milky Way. They're addressing the other galaxies in this region. And so these Federation people, they cruise galaxies in an attempt to monitor them. They have massive naval forces with the capability to almost destroy anything. That's not their function. Their function is to try to prevent wars out there. And I want to say something that I missed when you were talking earlier. You said that the extraterrestrials have been seen warring in the atmosphere of this planet.
Right.
In 2009, living in Oceanside, California, my neighbor across the street called me to come out. It's about 5 o'clock in the evening. So we stood there and watched vehicles dive with other vehicles diving behind them, come down to what looked like it would have gone go into the ocean because we can't see the ocean from where we are. They would fly back up again, do maneuvers, come back and fly back down again.
Oh, amazing.
There were literally dozens of vehicles, 2-3 dozen of vehicles at war between Long Beach and Catalina. Wow. Okay. Now, yes, there was a little blurb in the paper about the strange things that the meteors were doing because they couldn't understand the meteors operating that way. But they were meteors as far as the newspaper was concerned. Now, this is very recent. It's another war or a battle which is going on right next door. So they come in through the barrier of the area of control and fight each other. So at the tip of the Milky Way galaxy where we are, they have, some of them, different ones, have the command center, which is what we call the moon. And there's literally dozens and dozens and dozens of different civilization people in that structure. And most of them could care less about planet Earth. It's just where they parked. It's observation.
Just another, a convenient parking lot.
Yes. Ben Rich was on, he's one of the really brilliant people who the Navy worked very close with. And for him to have 6 families in his facility who were working on not American or not planetary Earth missions, okay? Not planetary missions. They're working on stuff out in the galaxy. They're operating from their facility, which is on the moon. And they're actually utilizing an office laboratory free. It's free for them. And their families are free, and they get everything paid for. And what do you think the relationship is between those six individual technical people and Ben Lynch?
Pretty close, yeah.
Wow. Oh, boy. And I think the fact that Lockheed documented this situation and made it available to some of us, okay? And he did that before he died, too.
Uh-huh.
But I'm only trying to say that's just one incident. That's just one location. It's just one input. Not really to help you, these six people, these six individuals. But they tolerate you, and yes, they do help once in a while. But they're not, you're not their mission. You're just living the office. They don't even have to pay any rent.
Right. Well, pretty remarkable. Okay. Let's talk about the relative number of what we call UFO sightings that come in all the time now. And the quandary we're in, there are a lot of really good people who are very dedicated to this. We have a problem, though, in the digital age. Both video and photographs can be faked. And when you look at these pictures, and I'm sure you've seen more than anyone else listening, how do you begin to go about trying to draw the lines? Where do you draw the line, Bill, about what's real and what's been done by somebody at home with a software program or CGI of some kind? They make these amazing videos up or amazing pictures, and they claim they're sightings. And that waters down the field, it confuses people. And this goes to the general question I wanted to ask you. Why should we bother waiting for the government to tell us ETs are real? I couldn't care less what the government tells us. I've got enough data, and anyone listening right now to the sound of my voice has enough data online to answer that question probably in 5 minutes if you simply do a little research. Am I right?
Absolutely. You're right on. No question. It's again nothing but control. And as long as we allow ourselves to be controlled, it's not going to change. It'll probably get worse.
Right.
And so it's just like the number of extraterrestrial, say, Draco reptilian types that are actually here. There's not millions of them here. They don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
They can, with their fingertips, they can control this with systems that they've developed 10,000 years ago. And it's worked for them, and we're just another one that they're using. So it's really up to us not to accept this control of virtually everything on your planet.
You know where that freedom begins?
Just 1 second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said this before.
Yeah.
But this election is far different than any other election in this country. Okay? And whether you are Democrat or Republican, it really doesn't make much difference.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals were fed up with virtually everything that your government and here in this country was doing.
Yep.
And they didn't talk about it much before the election. Obviously, the one side didn't know what was really going on. They didn't realize that people were really upset. This election gave freedom to people on this planet, and it like the first time since George Washington, okay? They took on the government, and they said, we don't buy what you're doing. We don't like it. And there's some guy, whether he's good or bad, he's not from the front office. He's a side guy. Now, whether you like him or not, whether he's successful or not, the people wanted somebody else. They were fed up with everything. And so, frankly, right at this time, this can be extremely advantageous to disclosure.
Right.
Because you've got a lot of people upset. They want the change. They're not satisfied with what's been taking place. No, they don't want another war with China or Russia or anybody else. All they want to do is fix a badly beat up country. And so there's a direct tie between the influence of Nordics and other good guys. We got these blue people, they're good guys too. Okay? They may not look like us, they may have a little more hair on their legs, but they're good people. And they want us to fix the situation too. Okay, I'll get off the soapbox. I didn't mean to get on that.
No, it's good. I think you tied in with what I was trying to say, and I said this rejection of the ugliness that had been enshrouding our population and our culture is profound, and it may be, and I've said it, I think it's our last chance. This had to come from within, and that's where all change begins. It doesn't come from without. We're not programmed to change. It has to come from within, and I think you're right. We heard a primal rage from a lot of people, and I suggest kindly that far more people voted for Trump, meaning change, real change, not the phony Obama change, than we'll ever know about. I think this election was rigged to the extent that the count is false. It was good enough, but I think just like the Brexit vote, it was probably much more of a runaway than we're being told.
Oh, this, yes, absolutely.
This came from inside. That's where change has to begin, Bill, as you know.
Yes, yes.
So very well said. Now, with respect to the Internet, we have the ability now to look at untold numbers of videos of strange craft, broad daylight sightings, craft coming down a narrow valley, and all of a sudden the craft just accelerates and it's a blur. It's gone. How many of those do we even begin to question as being fakes and reality? That's an insoluble problem. We just have to use our instinct. And I think what you have to do is look at it in terms of the numbers. The volume of sightings, the volume of photographs, the volume of videos is so huge that you have to apply the 1% principle. If only 1% of them are real, the whole game changes. That's all it takes. Or are you...
Yeah, you asked that question before, Jeff, and I walked around it. But I'm agreeing with you that it's a very small percent of these are real. And so that's essentially muddying the water. Instead of coming out with what's really going on and expressing it, and I'm talking about not just MUFON saying this, but other organizations. Actually, right now, we have 7 or 8 different organizations in this country who want disclosure. They want this information, and they want it right now. And so telling the truth is, of course, hard to decide which is right and which is not. But the fact that you have the Ben Rich Riches essentially disclosing what he knew.
Right, right.
And that if we can jump on that individual and get that information out about Ben Rich, what he said and what he had behind him, that's the good side, and that's the 1%. And we need to have more people who have been involved in this thing to do the Ben Rich thing, which you don't have to die to do it. We need to talk. We need people to talk. And quite frankly, I feel that we need coordination on one thrust of disclosure. We have so many people now who are working on different approaches, saying that they're going to have this information out next week, next month, within 6 months, whatever. And that's fine if they can do this, but it should be a collective organization, frankly, instigated by certain radio programs internationally. And the key could start at home, getting these other people to discuss it in the way that your program is doing, is actually a separate disclosure, but it's not organized with so many of these other people mm-hmm. who do have good information, which can back up virtually everything that you're doing. And I think that a tie between some of them, and I think you know what we're talking about here, some of it is good, mm-hmm. some of it is okay, and some of even that is not being done correct because there's certain things we shouldn't talk about in front of the kids, okay?
Right.
And but I think it's like the time right now to get this out.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And yeah, thanks to you, it's happening.
Truthfully, this needs to be understood. We're just kidding ourselves here. We're smoking our own pot, and it's insane that we are allowing this to happen. And hopefully, there was a big blue flag that was put up. Not surrender. Let's run with the ball at this election. Because so many people were so upset with the very thing that's wrong with the release of this subject. Wow. And all of a sudden, we had a free country. Holy cats. And it worked. And nobody really sat down and structured that. It was individuals, the ones that you're getting to, that were upset.
Right.
And they stood up and they got on top of the soap opera and they yelled, "All right, time to vote." Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's see here now. I've got one more item I can read here. Let me take a quick peek here.
Okay, good.
Here's another one. This is written by Eric Burgess, Aircraft Engineering, October 1954, page 358. This is a quote. "The feasibility and performance of an electrical propulsion system for interplanetary spaceships was investigated. A system was proposed in which a suitable propellant, such as cesium or rubidium, would be vaporized and then ionized by impact with incandescent platinum surfaces. A temperature of several hundred degrees would be sufficient, and the gas pressure at the entrance to the ion source would be of the order of 1 microbar. The ions would be accelerated by a potential of 9,400 volts and the electrons by 1 of 200 volts. The density of the ion current would be about 0.6 Ma/cm2, And the ions and the electrons would be expelled at equal rates in such a manner that they would recombine immediately as they left the thrust chambers. The power for the accelerating fields would be obtained from the solar radiation converted through turboelectric generators, because a thermoelectric pile would only have about one-tenth the efficiency for the same mass. Acceleration of a spaceship equipped with an electrical propulsion system of this nature would be of the order of 4 × 10⁵ power gravities. A ship with a payload of 50 tons, total initial mass of 270 tons, and a total flight time of 1 year would cover a distance of about 183 × 10⁶ power kilometers if it started with zero velocity and traveled through space without gravitational fields. It was calculated that such a vessel would take 2 years to complete the round-trip Earth to Mars transit. Now, this is 1954. The configuration of the ion gun is not clear from this summary. Dr. Ernst Stuhlinger, another German, who was one of the engineers of the German V-2, now at Redstone over here in the States, gave a talk on the same subject before the North Alabama chapter of the American Rocket Society in Huntsville on December 16, 1954. A copy of that lecture has been promised, and it's on the way. So there you go. This is what was coming out of World War II German scientists and American scientists in the early 1950s. They were working on these things. They weren't just ideas. We're getting little summaries and little tidbits here and there of what they were actually working on. And what do you think that they've accomplished in the last 70 years?
Well, actually, yes. Remember, though, that the secret think tank at Douglas, where that document came from, that was run by another German guy, Dr. Klemperer.
Right.
He came into the United States in, like, the late 20s, okay? And he had nothing to do with the SS or anything that the Hitler organization was doing. He was just a brilliant German individual. And he was selected by the vice president of engineering to head up the first secret think tank actually in the United States and possibly on the planet. This German guy was brilliant. And what you've been reading is just the tip of the iceberg as far as what was taking place there,
right,
and what's happening now. Okay? We tend to forget very, I don't know why, it's so easy to forget. Well, maybe we do know why. Maybe our minds are not really ours. Maybe they are being controlled. And mind control has not been addressed as it should be publicly.
Maybe we talk about that at some point down the road here. I don't know what your background in that is, how you were or we're not exposed to it, but it's beyond high tech. It's a science. They know how to do it.
They do. And yeah, that could be a pretty long program.
Well, I think it's an important one, and but I do go back to what you said and salute that, because we are at a point now which you've reflected what I was saying for the last year and a half. This is the final crossroads for us this time around. We either break through this and turn the ship away from the rocks, or we're done. And
we have an opportunity right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's right now, not tomorrow, not last week even. We have the opportunity right now. Let's go with it. Wow.
And when you look at this really morbid effort by the mainstream controlled mass mind control propaganda mill, the MSM, to make people think somehow that the alternative news media is putting out fake news, when they're the masters of it, they originated it, they created it, that's all they do. And I think most people learned about that watching this election process and the campaign season. It becomes ludicrous. Never again can you, all of you listening, wherever you are, trust your mainstream government, business, military-controlled media to tell you anything that is truly of great value. It's going to be to suit their purposes and serve their needs, not to empower you.
Wow.
And that brings us to the end of our conversation, Bill, and we'll look forward to the next one. And these are just remarkable disclosures. And all of it, again, is up there for all of you to read right now. All you got to do is just go and look Bill's name and guests, or look at the big deep space picture on the front of the homepage, or look on the right-hand column and scroll down till you see Bill Tompkins. And it's all there. And we're greatly indebted to you, Bill. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you soon, perhaps before Christmas. If not, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Jeff, and good luck with the program.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you again. Okay.
We can say Merry Christmas, you know.
You bet we can. Indeed.
Right now.
Okay, Bill. Bill Tompkins, and lots of fascinating material. Just taking a look at things we've never been able to see before. Okay, have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.